This is a Dynamike Network podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Dustin, your host for Max Destruction Podcast, brought to you by the Dynamike Network. And with me is the ever lovable teddy bear, Ken. How are you doing, Ken?
I was just going to say, one, it's amazing that you can be absent from like 4.5 weeks of this podcast and still somehow be able to lead it off. But, you know. That's good. Also, let's give it up for our intro. It just keeps getting better and better. I swear to God, it does.
I jam out to the music the whole time it's going. I'm just sitting there dancing. Like, it's flipping fantastic. Well, anyways, today we got a super fun matchup. I am extremely excited about, mostly because I got to pick this matchup completely on my own. Ken allowed me to go free range, and I went probably basic, but you know what? I don't care. I got my favorite 80s action hero, the one and only John McClane. While Ken is repping, you know, the guy that's just always too old for this crap, Richard Murtaugh from Lethal Weapon. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be mouthy. It's going to be an interesting cop versus cop kind of dynamic. And in my mind, Murtaugh's a bad guy because McClane can't be. Ken, what do you think?
Well, first and foremost, yes, I allowed you in the second season. Obviously, I must be becoming a teddy bear because I'm loosening the reins a little bit, obviously. It's great to have Dustin back, guys. And I think that it comes down to buy-in for both sides, right? So as long as both of us get a little bit of what we want, this podcast is going to continue to be awesome. When you told me about this matchup, I automatically was like, yes, yes, God, yes, because both of us agree that Die Hard is probably one of the best Christmas movies there are. And funnily enough, Lethal Weapon was a Christmas movie as well, a little known fact. So I can't wait to see how this one rolls. And yes, much like Murtaugh, I am really getting too old for this shit.
All right. There we go. There you have it, folks. So, why don't we get into our wham?
Wham.
This wham is brought to you by me, who didn't prepare last week, so I went with Henry Ruggs from Lethal Weapons because I have no personality. And we got some great answers. Funny enough, we got Murtaugh as one of the answers, and John McClane as another, but we also got Agent J from MIB, which I love Agent J, love Men in Black. We definitely have to have them in at some point. Agent Carter from Rush Hour. And they put not that shitty Marvel show. So, you know, it makes me laugh because we all know Marvel is superior. Then we got Judge Dredd and Detective Gamble, AKA Gator. From the other guys, you know, Gator needs his gat. He needs his gat. And lastly, Officer Huxley from Demolition Man. Some fantastic freaking answers. What's your favorite?
Solid answers all around. And of course, of the Agent Carters, one is way more hot. So I will definitely go with the Marvel version on this one. Although, you know, Carter from Rush Hour is a solid answer. I would love, absolutely love to see Judge Dredd, the Stallone version of Dredd against Martin Riggs. I think would be a solid fight, and I believe might be a matchup coming up here soon. Thank you, Camacho, as usual, coming in with them solid picks, and stay tuned for later in the episode when Ken drops the science for his wham.
Ooh, science. That is when Dustin might have to step out because you're getting too smart for me. Anyways, let's dive into the matchup this week. I am super stoked. Ken, I think you have the honors of starting this off, right?
Of course I have the honors of starting us off. Who wouldn't? Except I think maybe we should have Gio explain how we roll with the tale of the cocoa butter.
Here at you can cut me out messing up. Podcast, and more specifically, the Destruction Daily, we use the tale of the cocoa butter to break down the characters' bios, abilities, and equipment for the match.
Think yeah, of there you like have
boxing
it.
Or the UFC tale of the tape. It's a lot more 80s action hero style. Glistening muscles were all the rage, and therefore these mooks use it as measuring device. Ticket number 26.
That's right, folks. I got had last time we record, and it just so happened to be Dustin getting had this go around. I am super psyched and jacked and tanned really about this, and I can't wait to see how it rolls. Dustin, yeah. Go on ahead.
I mean, you can edit that stuff out, right? Not that you will, but
oh no, nobody. It's all staying in there.
In my defense, I've been on podcast vacation, so you have no excuse for last week. Oh man! All right, so give us the lowdown on Murtaugh.
All right, so Roger Murtaugh, of course, played masterfully in the four Lethal Weapon films by Danny Glover. And honestly, Damon Wayans comes close in the TV show, but it is far and beyond a pitiful replica of the film. So Roger Murtaugh is at the end of the series, he was a lieutenant. A detective lieutenant, but more often than not, he's portrayed as a sergeant. He was actually born December 21st, 1937, in Los Angeles, and he is a sergeant in the Los Angeles Police Department. He's a straight-laced veteran homicide detective and a family man. He was a lieutenant in the 173rd Airborne Brigade. Well, let's go, in the U.S. Army and served in Vietnam. He joined the LAPD in 1967, and after 20 years, that's right, 1987, is considering retirement, hence his catchphrase, I'm getting too old for this shit. Amazing, amazing, amazing. So Murtaugh, of course, worked alongside one of the main side characters in Lethal Weapon, the first movie, Michael Hunsaker, in Vietnam, not really understanding or knowing that there was a seedy underbelly of the CIA working in cahoots with different special operations forces in Vietnam. He was one of the straight-laced guys. When he got back from Vietnam, he met a woman named Trish, got married, and ended up having three kids. By the time 1987 came, he eventually met and partnered up with Martin Riggs, the crazy white dude who has a slight Aussie accent, which goes in and out, of course. And he does not want to be with Riggs because he's known as the loose cannon, really, if you look at the definition of loose cannon, Martin Riggs' face shows up. Played masterfully by Mel Gibson, of course. So he actually read through his dossier before he became partners with him and found out he was part of the Phoenix Project, heavily into martial arts and all that shit, and left him without hesitation registering Riggs as a lethal weapon. See that? See that product placement right there? It's amazing. It can be hinted that he joined the military and the police force because of his father. According to the fourth film, when he gave Hong his watch, his father had gave him. He says that it's his father's watch and was given to him when he retired from the force, hinting that Murtaugh's dad actually retired from the LAPD. Now, across the adventures from the first four films, Murtaugh always ends up being like the straight man. He's always the one things just seem to keep happening to. Usually at the behest of his partner, Riggs, they tend to go on wacky and zany adventures to include with Murtaugh getting captured and tortured and getting blown up through his bathroom when he was on the toilet in Lethal Weapon 2. He dodges into a cast iron tub, which scientifically none of that made sense. However, it looked great. He jumped pantsless on top of Riggs under bomb blanket and got blown out of a bathroom. And that's like the light shit. So Murtaugh is the old school detective, right? He carries a Smith & Wesson Model 17 with a longer barrel, 357 Magnum, whereas Riggs, the hot shot Lethal Weapon, carries the Beretta 92 semi-automatic. Of course, this is just kind of showcasing that Murtaugh is, you know, used to the finer things and maybe slightly slower than his new counterpart. However, it does showcase, or he does showcase, his marksmanship skills when he is able to put a round dead center in the head with his 357 at about 50 meters, which is a hell of a long shot. And he's able to do that multiple times, usually with his catchy shoulder neck rotation that he does before he fires a shot. He tends, again, to be the guy that things happen to. In the second film, of course, he and Riggs become the caretakers of one Leo Getz, played, again, masterfully by Joe Pesci. And whatever you need, Leo Getz. Again, see where I went with that. And which time Leo tends to make issues for Murtaugh, and the shenanigans ensue. As far as his stats, Danny Glover is 6'1", probably about 150-ish pounds. He probably bulked up to like 200 throughout the time, but we'll say that. As far as martial arts training, he has had very minimal training other than the normal rough and tumble brawling style that he's had since he has rocked, you know, in the military as well as a cop. He has a less than genius intellect, but very close, as he is a highly decorated detective. Of course, he is a marksman with use of different weapon systems. For this match, it is just going to be Murtaugh with his 357 mag. That's all he needs in order to take on Mr. McClane, who again seems to be a little less than useful in most situations, unless he wants to be like a TV dinner or something.
All right. That was, you know, fantastic. Glad that you worked so hard on bringing us the loser's information. Now, now to get into John McClane, actor Bruce Willis, and I'm going to start off by Bruce Willis is my favorite action actor ever, so, you know, fight me. Anyways, John McClane comes in at 6'1", so they got height, they're even, and weighing in at 185, he was, Bruce Willis betrayed John McClane in all five Die Hard movies: Die Hard, Die Hard 2, Die Hard with a Vengeance, Live Free or Die Hard, and A Good Day to Die Hard. His rank is he's a lieutenant with the NYPD and at one point also with the LAPD. In the first Die Hard movie, known as the greatest Christmas movie to ever exist, he is on the verge of divorce and visiting his wife for the holidays. He gets there, finds out she changed her last name, and, you know, he's very upset, very angry. They get into a little spat. And that's when all hell breaks loose. He happens to be in her office at this Christmas party when she goes out to give a speech and terrorists take over Nakatomi Tower. Led by Hans Gruber, who is played by the late, great Alan Rickman. I forgot he was in this movie because it's been a while since I watched it. And I was like, oh, Professor Snape, for the Harry Potter nerds out there.
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with me? I don't know. He happens at the start, there are around 12 to 13 terrorists. And by the end of the movie, there's only one left. And, you know, that's because McClane is such a BA. He took everybody out. And I could have swore he took out that other guy, you know, but somehow he unhung himself and made it outside. In one of my, so he's known as like this vigilante cop that keeps putting his job and his marriage and just his overall life on the line because he can't keep himself out of other people's business. I mean, it's a good thing. He saves the day, saves the people, saves the world, whatever. But he definitely doesn't know how to mind his own business because he's just that cop never turns off, and he also has a bit of a drinking problem. Anyway, in one of my favorite movies, which is Live Free or Die Hard, it's one of the first ones I saw, actually, because I'm a millennial and much younger than Ken. The main villain, played by Timothy Olyphant, is the leader of a cybercrime group that is destroying the world's economy in order to basically just steal a buttload of money. John had to work with this young man who developed one of the codes for the hackers unknowingly. He had to come to his house and pick him up for questioning, only to find out that they had sent people to kill him. So he saves the kid, gets him out, and they basically go on this cross-country road trip fighting this cyber terrorism group. It is freaking amazing. And so John is a psycho. When it comes to fighting, he will stop at nothing to save the day and the people. He doesn't care what it takes. Some of the feats that is shown, just kind of how tough he is and how determined this man could be. In his first movie, he takes out a whole tower of terrorists, not wearing any shoes, just wearing some pants and his, tank top, running over glass shards, bandaging himself up constantly, getting shot. At one point, he jumps off of a roof tied to a fire hose and crashes through a window as he's being shot at by a helicopter gunner. Okay, like, flipping insane stuff right there. And then in Live Free or Die Hard, he is so determined to take out the main terrorist, Timothy Olyphant's character. I don't even know if I'm saying the last name right. Probably not. Anyways, he goes to the point where he shoots through his own shoulder after he says his famous tagline, Yippee-ki-yay, mother trucker. Similar to that, but he says it much cooler because he actually cusses. He in that same movie, he takes down a helicopter. There's no way Murtaugh has a freaking chance to be the greatest fictional cop to ever live. I'm just going to say that. Through five films, McClane killed 73 terrorists. The one only movie he did not kill the main villain was A Good Way to Die Hard. And I found this when I was looking up just some facts about him that I thought was fun. His personality and humor are very similar to another action hero, one that Murtaugh is familiar with, Martin Riggs, played by Mel Gibson. But it is said that McClane is much more level-headed. And that is John McClane. The equipment he'll be having for this fight is most movies, he carries a Beretta 9.2F 9mm pistol, and he also has a SIG SAR P220-45. That's what he carries in Live Free or Die Hard. And you know what? It's just, he's going to kick butt like he always does, even if he has to hurt himself in the process. And that is John McClane.
So Dustin, this is honestly why I was super excited about this fight. Because I don't know if you folks realize after, and really I had to go back and re-listen because you've told me in the past you don't cuss. And I know you've probably slipped like once or twice in your lifetime on this. I was really racking my brain as to how you were going to effectively simulate a match with John McClane and not cuss. I am super excited, and I know our audience is, to find out how this is going to work, especially because we try to stay as faithful to our characters as possible. I could do that with Murtaugh and like really try not to curse, which would be fun. I think we should swap once and try to have me not curse during one episode and see what happens. We might get through like 15-ish seconds. Just go back and listen to our rants. You'll see why. But yes, McClane is definitely one of the top movie detectives there is. The fact that you kind of just gloss over the fact that he blew up a helicopter with a car in Live Free or Die Hard, as the movies progressed, of course, it became more and more fantastical, as all of these do, right? You gotta up the envelope as much as humanly possible, with the fact that Murtaugh like kicked over a fishbowl because he was trying to do a roundhouse kick to the face of Riggs, and the fact that, McClane had to be based on Martin Riggs shows you exactly where, if Murtaugh can deal with Riggs and still survive, I don't think he's got much problem with dealing with John McClane.
you think that. And also, I'm very nervous for the speculation because, this might be the time where I slip up just because I'm going to get in the head of the character. And, you know, if it happens, it happens. Just don't tell my wife or show this to my kids.
Yeah, facts. It's not like this goes on the internet or anything and, you know, is transmitted across the world. You know, we do have international listeners, which is awesome because both of these characters have dealt with international terrorism. So America, USA, USA. All right. So before we get into this, Dustin, why don't we let Gio talk about our sim and how we get there?
Do you honestly think these idiots would be able to put their biases aside to come up with an answer to who would win? Absolutely not. So they did the next best thing. They stole a probabilistic model that a computer can use from the dynamic Duel Jamooks. Using this model, the guys input a character's stats, such as strength, fighting style, and most importantly, humor. They run the model 1,000 times to decide a match. But think about listening to a computer do anything. It's stupid boring. So instead, the guys end up simulating a fight in an environment that will undoubtedly put my fifth generation establishment in harm's way. The simulated fight doesn't have any bearing on the results, but I guess to some it's funnier.
And by some, we mean everybody, because it is hilarious that our characters typically blow up his fifth generation deli, and now it's franchises across the greater North New England area. he's done pretty well for himself. He invested all of his insurance premiums, so that's good.
Yeah, you know, I would say I'm sorry, Gio, but at the same time, it's just too much fun not to blow up your establishment.
Especially if he keeps insulting us. Like, the fact that he's doing that makes me want to do it more now.
Yeah, it's like, why should I feel bad?
It's fair. And the fact that Gio is a creation of our collective consciousness with this podcast, yeah, I really don't feel bad. So, Dustin, why don't you set up our environment for these two characters?
Ooh, okay. Why don't we do this one, let's say, in a mall shopping center with a certain deli sandwich in the shop in the food court.
Ah, so he's franchised even into mall delis.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a smart move. Malls tend to be going extinct now there, Gio, so maybe you're not as smart as we thought.
Yeah, maybe not. But, so they're in, we'll say, a multi-level mall. They both obviously think that each other are the bad guys. Or Murtaugh, he's reading terrorists to John McClane. I'm pretty sure he snuck a package full of coke to somebody. So, who would you think goes first?
So I'm going to probably say Murtaugh. Like, he's dealt with dirty cops in the past, and is probably particularly tired of cops, you know, smuggling in Colombian Bam Bam into LA. Like, he's really getting tired of this. And the fact that his partner is MIA right now, and he honestly feels like Paula McClane had something to do with it, he's going to go first. So he's going to, you know, instead of walking into the mall, of course, he's going to drive his police-issued sedan into the mall itself, because why wouldn't he? That's just the way Murtaugh rolls. He's trying to make an entrance. So as he drives through, he's going to kind of like shoulder roll out of it. Of course, he's not going to be agile or majestic with it. It's going to really look bad because he's getting older. Side note, before we really get into this, he was, I think, 43 or 44 during the filming of Lethal Weapon, which means he's only like 6 years older than I am. So that hurts. It hurts me in the feels. The fact that I know that I'm getting close to retirement too, just really like digs that in just a little bit. And the fact that this movie came out right around the time I was born, but regardless of that. So Murtaugh's going to shoulder roll up, and he's going to draw his Smith & Wesson leveling at the guy with the receding hairline.
Okay, so John McClane's going to, you know, obviously dodge for cover, seeing this car barrel into the freaking mall. And his response is going to be like, what the frick is wrong with this guy? So he's going to pull his weapon. I'm going to say this is near Christmas time and Murtaugh knocked down a Christmas tree. That's gonna make McClane angry. And I'm going to say he pulls his 9mm and he takes a couple shots towards the car.
So Murtaugh, using the car for cover, is going to just let it keep rolling. He's going to move with it. You know, watching this guy likely have to drop like his hot dog on a stick, because that's what I like think McClane was probably doing, was sitting there eating from a hot dog on a stick. And the rounds are going to start coming in. This is going to piss off Murtaugh, because not only is he shooting his government issue sedan, but it's the one he's had to pay for, because he's gone through so many from LAPD. He's literally having to pay for his own cars now. So it's going to piss him off. So he is going to rotate his neck and let his shoulders, and he's going to yell, go spit. And then he's going to fire his mag twice. Once at the table where McClane is dodging, which is going to pierce right through. And the second at the glass chandelier above McClane, shattering glass all over him.
Okay, so McClane's going to be like, what the shit is going on here, guys? And he's going to go through other cover. Also, I just want to point out, like, you're mad at him shooting at the car because he has to buy the car himself, but he just flipping full on yeeted this through a shopping mall.
And it'll buff like, out.
That, okay, that'll buff out. Gotcha. Okay, so McClane's going to run off to the side, and I'm going to say that he looks for a vantage point and sneaks upstairs and starts firing from above.
All right, so Murtaugh now understands he's going to have to do a little bit more than just do a normal showdown face-off. So he's going to dodge into a store, try to start sneaking around, trying to figure out where he's going to go. And that's when he looks up above and he finds an access panel. Because, of course, he's on the bottom floor. So he is going to hop up on top of the access panel and shove his way into what looks to be a ventilation shaft, which is shockingly human-sized for a mall. So he's going to start inching his way in, finding himself up to the second floor, where he's going to just wait for McClane to move past.
Okay, so McClane's going to be watching out at this point. You know, he's cut up from the glass falling on him. He's pissed off. He's going to light up his cigarette, look around. He's going to yell like, I don't know what your problem is, man, but you ain't getting out of this one. And he's going to start looking for Murtaugh carefully. But all of a sudden he hears just this bumbling sound of someone trying to crawl through a ventilation shaft. Like, who would do that? That doesn't sound very smart. You know, like, McClane's never done that. And he's going to take a broken piece of debris and just chuck it up at the ventilation shaft and watch it crash down.
So as it crashes down, Murtaugh's going to come rolling out of it. Like, who came up with this idea? This was the dumbest idea ever. But it was effective because he is now up on the second floor. And as he rolls in, his mag is probably going to, like, kick off the side, because it's like an 8.5-pound gun. It's really heavy, kind of cumbersome, and when it's not in a holster, it can't be maneuvered around very well. So it's probably going to get, like, kicked over to the side. So Murtaugh's going to have to roll up, but when he does, he's going to come up on his feet as fast as he can, and he's going to throw an elbow right into McClane's jaw.
Ooh, okay. Now we're getting into the fist fighting, and that was a mistake. McClane, he's a scrapper, you know. He's going to take that elbow. He's going to be ticked. He's going to be like, shit, and he's just going to kick Murtaugh straight in the knee and then punch him in the jaw.
So Murtaugh is definitely not that fast, and he was not expecting this to be a slap fight with kittens and pillows. So he's going to take these hits, and as he goes kneeling down, he's going to come up with a haymaker right in McClane's nuts. Boom, set it up for me. Thank you, Dustin. But as he does this, he is going to push forward with his weight, because he knows McClane's going to have to fall forward, because what man wouldn't? And it's not like he's going up against Iron Balls McGinty over here. It's John McClane. So he's going to, you know, lean forward with his weight and take him down into a tackle as he's pushing up.
Okay. So for one, you know, congrats on your first one of the season. You know, I commend you, my good sir. McClane's reeling, obviously, but he knows that this is life or death at this point. So I'm going to say when he gets tackled, he loses his first pistol there. He's going to push off Murtaugh, get back on his feet, and then he's going to WWE style spear him through the second floor balcony glass there, landing on what is left of the Christmas tree down below them.
So they're both going to hit. These are not spring chickens, all right? They're both grizzled, old, and, you know, really just existing on caffeine and hate at this point. So they both, like, land, and I'm going to guess they're both on their back just heaving, like, oh, God, that was terrible. You know, and Murtaugh is just going to go, I'm too old for this shit. I can't do this anymore. And he's going to make it seem like he's giving up. But as he's doing this, he's kind of fishing around with his hands to pick up a piece of broken glass, and he's going to shove it into McClane's side.
Ooh, so McClane's going to let out a curse word. Go grab towards his side and be like, what the shit, man? What's wrong with you? So I'm too old for this shit as well. And he's going to pull his 45 off of his side holster there, and he's going to shoot and kneecap Murtaugh.
That is awful. Just terrible and dirty pool, old man. We'll just say dirty pool. So Murtaugh's knee is gone. Like, that close range with a 45 caliber, his knee is gone. But he has been tortured by the Asian henchman that has been both in Lethal Weapon and in Die Hard. He was the guy that ate the candy while he was fighting the SWAT officers in Die Hard. And he was the guy that used the electrical, like, water torture on Riggs. He also dug, like, glass and salt into Murtaugh as he was writhing in pain while they were taking his oldest daughter hostage and making it seem like they were going to do untoward things to him. So he's just going to react. He's not even going to take the time to heave the pain. And as he does, he's going to grab and wrist lock McClane's hand that's holding the 45, and he's going to jerk it upwards. And as he does that, he's going to headbutt McClane straight in the face.
Oh, straight for a headbutt. All right. McClane's reeling. He falls back there. That's when he's going to kick him in the same knee that he just shot out. And then he is going to shoot him right between the eyes. Ending this match. McClane's the winner. Woo!
He might think he did that. However, because he is so dazed from the headbutt, he's going to let go and kick out at Murtaugh's knee. I'm not going to deny that. But as Murtaugh's going to the ground, he's going to realize his Smith & Wesson's right there. And as he lands, he's going to pull it up and fire point blank into McClane's face, ending the match.
Okay, so either or one character is getting shot in the face and the deli's probably destroyed again.
More than likely. I mean, honestly, that's going to be the end result regardless, which I don't think it could go either way, other than the fact that probably both of them would team up at some point instead of killing each other. But that wouldn't be that much fun for this podcast, honestly.
Exactly. You know, these two, I think, would settle their differences after a few blows and realize, wait, you're not selling drugs? I'm not either. Let's go get the guys who actually are. But, you know, it's fun to hear McClane kicking the crap out of Murtaugh.
Yeah, it would definitely be Gary Busey. Like, whatever happens, they'll be going after Gary Busey again, regardless if he was dead in the first Lethal Weapon or not.
All right, so there you have it, folks. The fight, the legendary duel between McClane and Murtaugh, comes to a close.
Right. So before we get into the actual results of these fights, we made reference to Geo's Deli a couple of times, and really it comes down to our destruction spectrum, right? So we like to say what kind of collateral damage our two characters would do, but we'll let Geo go ahead and explain it. Geo?
The destruction spectrum, or as I like to call it, the insurance adjuster's notes, the guys take each character's destruction potential and decide on a scale of 1 to 5. Really, it's all about how much damage they do to my deli. Since you guys think it's hilarious, I guess I'll just keep switching insurance companies. There is certain to be a ton in New York, right?
Always fair points to you. Always fair points.
So I think I'm going a little high, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going to go 4 because these are two men who in their movies constantly blow crap up. McClane used the enemy C4 to blow out the entire bottom of the tower in the first movie. He's thrown cars at helicopters. Murtaugh has done some crap. You know, it's just – it's not going to be good.
And Murtaugh, I think – assisted Riggs in tearing down an entire like cliffside mansion that the South Africans owned, while also shooting the South African diplomat in the face and then dropping a container on him. So yeah, Murtaugh definitely uses his environment to his advantage. I don't know if I would go a 4, but a solid 3.5. Because these guys would need something outside of their normal realm, because otherwise it's just two dudes with guns. But always explosions, always something blowing up. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, these guys have not learned what collateral damage is, for sure. Well, with that out of the way, don't matter. Who cares? They saved the people at the end, right?
Facts, and they always seem to get away with it.
Somehow.
Always seem to get away with it and promoted. I mean, that's how I want to go, is I want to be continually promoted for all the shit that I do.
You destroyed billions of dollars. Here's a promotion and a raise.
It's not far off from what I do. I mean, it's close, but I can't talk about that. It's G14 classified, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Justin... And the end results of this match, first, pause. Okay, so we'll record you winning and then me winning, and then I'll just edit out whichever one does. I'll let you know how it goes. So okay. We'll go pause, 3, 2, 1, I'll say you, and then pause, 3, 2, 1, then you say me, and then we'll go. All right?
Okay.
All right, so pause, 3, 2, 1. All right, Dustin, so the results are in for the 1,000 matches, and I knew this was going to be close, but fortunately, McClane won.
Heck yeah, he did. That's right. My boy wins this match, and that's how it rightfully should be, and that is how the results came out. So, you know what, Ken? I would say I'm sorry, but after last week's beating, I needed this win. I really
did. All right, so... Before we get out of here, I told you guys about my Wham.
Wham.
And I said I was going to drop some science on you, and I feel like that is 100% the case. So I am going to be dropping Lisa from Weird Science. That's right, folks. We are going to do the computer-generated amazing bombshell from that wonderful 80s movie that people really remember for like 2 or 3 scenes. And the fact Robert Downey Jr. was in it, Lisa. So, of course, go onto our social medias. Look at our podcast for your discussions. We can't wait to see who you could come up with for Lisa. My friend, we did it. Another solid show. I can't believe we're already... this many episodes in, episode 5. We are episode 5, which means in 5 more episodes, we will have our first review. And I can't wait to see how it rolls. Dustin, for the first time this season, we will be doing a coin flip for who it is and what it is we will be conducting. And next week, I'm pretty excited. We're going back to our martial arts roots. Bruce Lee versus Ip Man.
Ooh, okay.
Donnie Yen, of course, versus Bruce Lee, which there's a lot of crossover there because there's a lot of people that note that Bruce Lee actually was taught by Ip Man in real life. So I can't wait to see how that goes. But for the coin flip, let's go ahead and look at who's going to be choosing who. So, my friend, go ahead and call it in the air.
Heads.
It is heads.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. You know, I'm going Bruce Lee.
Solid pick. I don't think there is a wrong pick there. No. Honestly, I can't wait to see how this rolls. So, Dustin, before we get out of here, anything else you want to throw out?
You know, it's good to be back. Keep answering those wham questions, people. They're a lot of fun, and I can't wait to get back in and do this next week when we see Bruce Willis beat Imp Man.
Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee will be, you've got Bruce Willis on the brain, because honestly, I don't think.